Hello, I'm Michael Taylor. On October 2nd, 2011, I interviewed Michael Cicchetti of Heaven's Landing. And Mike is a real estate developer, and Heaven's Landing is a real estate development. But the specifics of Heaven's Landing are a little bit different than what you might be expecting. Heaven's Landing is a fly-in community. And what a fly-in community is it's a real estate development in which all the owners own a piece of the runway, so to speak, and there's an actual runway located on the common property, and owners of the homes can fly their planes directly into their community, land on the airstrip, and in many cases there are hangars either located attached to their homes or the hangars are located in a common area. So this concept of a flying community is very unique in that it attracts a niche market, and you know, mainly plane owners. And the typical planes are just can range from small single engine aircraft to smaller jets. Nothing really commercial sized. It's smaller. But it mainly attracts plane owners and people that travel frequently with their planes. So Heaven's Landing offers a very unique opportunity for people seeking the beauty of the Appalachian Mountains, but also want to be more mobile to where they can commute to all across the country if they need to. But anyway, without further ado, here's that interview with Michael Cicchetti of Heaven's Landing.
First question is, tell me how Heaven's Landing first got started.
Okay, well, when I was you remember when I was racing, running that ARCA team and then test driving for the Winston Cup teams, I found the property back in 1992, and I realized that there was a place here that could facilitate a landing strip, and so I started thinking about it, but obviously couldn't afford it until I started making more money when I was driving from Kelly Harborough, and then put together a contract in 1999, and we started to work on buying the property, and we purchased it, and turned it into what is now Heaven's Landing.
Okay. What was your vision for it, for what it could become?
Well, when in my travels, there was, coming from Florida, or not originally from Florida, but living in Florida for several years, there's multiple flying communities down there where people live with their airplanes and actually have their plane accessible to their home. You know, so you can taxi your plane right up to your house. I started thinking about that, and when I was racing, the need to be mobile was necessary. So it tied into the whole grand scheme that I could live, have my plane at my house, have the mobility to be able to go and do the racing that I needed to do, and not have to uproot my family and move them to Charlotte, which was really what I was trying to avoid. I didn't want to move them out of Raven County because I love Raven County so much. So just started thinking about that, and then obviously, when I got injured in Talladega, I was wasn't going to be able to keep it as a private estate. So I had to make it into something that was more open to the public, or not to the public, but to the owners in the in the development. Mm-hmm. And so I was as far as my vision for Heaven's Landing, I saw it as a kind of a metamorphosis. First, it was supposed to be a private estate with landing capacity, and then when I couldn't keep it as a private estate because it would be too expensive and me not being able to race anymore and make the money that I was making, I had to turn it into something more desirable. So I kind of copycatted the Spruce Creek and the Spruce Creek concept, which is a fly-in estate or fly-in community where you have numerous lots, and people can taxi their planes right up to their homes, or taxi their planes to the hangar complex and have their home within the property.
Okay. What was your strategy to get Heaven's Landing up and running?
Well, because it's a niche market, you know, it's got to be people that like to fly or at least like airplanes. I mean, you don't have to be a pilot to live here, but you know, if you're not an airplane person, you're not going to want people landing airplanes next to your house unless you enjoy watching them fly. So it narrows the market down pretty much. I mean, there's not a vast number of, you know, as a percentage, only about 5% of the population flies. So, you know, privately. So you have to identify that market and then figure out a way to penetrate it, you know. Mm-hmm. And luckily, there are numerous trade shows every year, and we just attend those trade shows, and we've built a database by attending those trade shows and having a marketing gimmick that attracts the pilots. So,
okay.
We go to those trade shows and we spread the word. We've built a database, and then we do follow up on the computers by contacting the people that we initially meet at trade shows. And there's also several different databases and lists that are available of the private aviators in the country.
Okay. What were some of the challenges you faced when starting it up?
Biggest challenge has always been banking, because it is outside the box, so the banks don't necessarily understand how it works and what makes it what makes it click, and that has been kind of magnified of late because banking in general has become so ridiculous and mm-hmm. so difficult. So that's always been the biggest challenge.
Okay. How did y'all overcome those challenges?
How did we overcome them?
Yeah.
Well, some of them we've worked on. Initially we brought in partners with cash, and we, basically when you bring in a partner, you have to, you give up some of the pie in order to raise the capital to move forward. More recently, though, our bank failed, and it became a situation where we just had to look at other avenues. And in some regards, we're still working on those.
Okay. My next question is, have your experiences with this business influenced the way you now manage Heaven's Landing?
No, it's been pretty much the same all along. The biggest challenge we have is staying in contact with our clientele and our prospects and moving forward with the vision, trying to bring the overall vision to life. There's still some things we're expanding on, and we just, with the way cash flow and cash availability is now, you have to somewhat defer and put some of the projects on the back burner until the financing turns around and cash flow changes.
Okay. My next question is, how do you select people to join your company?
Well, we're relatively small. We've had to cut back because of the economy, and so people that we have selected that work for us are primarily family and people in the aviation business, that had their own planes or that had experience in general aviation.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's a very personality oriented basis business. You have to have people that are good people, mm-hmm. people persons or persons, people that are good working with people, working with the public, and have a good rapport with the general public to be able to work them and explain the concept and show them around.
Okay. My next question is, with those people you bring in from the outside, how do you orient them as a member of your organization?
Most of the time I have them travel around or hang out. out with me when I'm giving tours of the property. Our primary function here at this point, anyway, is just handling sales and handling prospects. So what I do is I take them through with a prospective client, and I have them learn what I tell each client so that they learn the language, if you will, and the technique by which I sell.
Okay. My next question is, how do you motivate and reward those employees?
Most of the time it's financial, by means of commission and you know, and then always positive reinforcing. I mean, when somebody does a good job, you always want to let them know, you know, let them know they've done a good job. It even if they know it already, it never hurts to pat them on the back and tell them so. But you know, I'd say, you know, money is always the biggest motivator.
Okay. My next question is, how many years did it take for your business to earn a profit?
Well, I'd say 2 years, and then, you know, it took the initial, you know, getting in the black was 2 years, and then, you know, it did pretty well for about 6 or 7 years, and then you know, in the current market, we're not profitable. We're actually, you know, we're in the red right now, and we're working to try to get back out of that.
Okay, so you have noticed an impact on of the recession on your business in general?
Oh, very much so. It's the first time in our history that we really hadn't been making forward progress. It's been pretty hard on us.
Okay. With that in general situation, have y'all had to experience cutbacks or downsizing or anything like that?
Oh, by all means, we've probably cut half of our staff. We've had to cut way back because of the recession.
Okay. My next question would be, what do you enjoy most about being an entrepreneur?
Being my own boss and punching my own time card, not having to answer to somebody or be in a, it's not a 9-to-5 job. It's not, you know, I don't have to be there at a specific time, but at the same time, in many ways, it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. So it just it offers flexibility on one hand. At the same time, it's all consuming. In other ways, you're on 24-hour call, pretty much 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. If somebody shows up at the gate and they want a tour, you've got to give it to them, or you've got to find somebody to give it to them, and it requires your immediate action. If somebody flies in and lands, you know, you've got to go deal with it. You know, so there's in some ways I've got more freedom than ever. In other ways, all the freedom has been taken away. So yeah. It's a double-edged sword.
So would you say that's what you enjoy the least about being an entrepreneur?
You know, it's all about making, you know, you get everything you do, no matter what it is, if you're the boss or if you're somebody else's boss, there's going to be ups and downs to either side. I enjoy what I do, despite the fact that it's high pressure and despite the fact that it's all, you know, that it's all consuming. You get to meet some really great people, and airplane owners and aviation aficionados in general are fun people and very dynamic, and it's good to be around that kind of person.
Okay.
And then the traveling aspect of it is also a big plus, because we do travel extensively, going to these trade shows and doing different things. And my wife and I enjoy, you know, that aspect of it. But there are times when, you know, a lot of times our space is invaded. So there's pros and cons to everything, but that's life in general, no matter what you do. You gotta pick out the positives in anything you do, to really make yourself successful, I think, because that's what, you know, if you dwell on the negatives, you're gonna tiger, you know, or a tigger, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I choose to be a tigger.
Yeah. My next question is, what was your proudest moment in terms of your business, or when did you know that it would be successful?
I'd say that probably my proudest moment was yesterday, our 10th anniversary. Okay. We had a great turnout. We had the president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association came in all the way from Delaware in a private plane. He's a wonderful spokesman for the advocate for general aviation, you know, around the world. And the fact that he took the time to come to our 10th anniversary, and the close to 200 people that came to the 10th anniversary took the time to come, it made me very proud and very, gave me a sense of accomplishment that sometimes you question yourself on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a big event. We had a lot of airplanes and a lot of fun, and the compliments that I received yesterday probably surpassed, you know, mm-hmm. anything and everything that I expected.
Okay. Well, this isn't on my list of questions, but I have to ask this. Of all those people that showed up to the anniversary, how many of what percentage of that was fly-ins?
Most of them.
Most of them?
Yeah, I'd say probably 75%.
Good deal. I just had to ask that.
No problem.
My next question is, what are your hopes for the future of Heaven's Landing?
Well, I'd like to, hopefully banking starts to loosen up and they start to, you know, one of the big issues right now is, you know, this TARP money that was thrown around all these banks. I think it was $7.5 billion was given out to the banks to free up, you know, theoretically to stimulate the economy. And the banks have only loaned out 1% of that $7.5 billion. This was in the newspapers about a week ago, USA Today. The problem with that is that was taxpayer money that was supposed to be injected into the economy to make it stimulated, and only 1% of it got reinjected. The rest of it just was stuck in the banks to sit on, and they're not loaning the money out. So it puts people that need to borrow money and, you know, to expand into a perilous position, because we're out here, trying to continue to grow, and we can't grow. But hopefully the banks will start to loan money again and free up the capital that they were given, not earned, but given, because they were failing grotesquely mm-hmm. until the political bailout that they received. But they've now done what I would consider to be somewhat criminal, in that they took that money and they just sat on it, and they didn't inject it into the economy, which was what it was
intended. Yeah.
So, but if they free that up, I'd like to see. You know, I'd like, we have two more phases we'd like to expand on. We've still got more infrastructure to build. We've got, we want to put in a swimming pool at the clubhouse. Tennis courts, etc. You know, things that will embellish the development and make it even bigger and better. More hangars need to be constructed. More homes need to be constructed. So.
Okay. My next question is, where do you see your business in 5 to 10 years?
I'd say in 5 to 10 years, I'd say that the next 2 years are probably going to be pretty flat. We're going to have to survive the next 2 years, and then I think after that we will see a growth, and hopefully exponential growth, that'll make up for the years, make up for the slim years. I think that we will. I'm thinking 10 years from now we'll have probably 40 to 50 homes built, and more people. You know, activity breeds activity, so I think that we'll be expanding exponentially forward from that point.
Okay. My last question would be, if you had any advice for potential entrepreneurs, whether in your industry or in general, what would it be?
Do as much research on what you're planning to do as you possibly can. make sure that your property properly capitalized, and don't be afraid to do something that's outside the box as long as you believe in it.
All right.
Okay?